An anxious Washington is on tenterhooks this afternoon. Yesterday, Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota was rushed to the hospital after becoming disoriented during a conference call with reporters at the U.S. Capitol. After having surgery for bleeding in the brain, the Democratic senator remains in critical condition. Questions surrounding his health highlight just how slim the Democratic majority really is. And here to tell us more is our own political junkie, Ken Rudin. He is NPR's political editor. Ken, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Lynn.
And we should begin by saying that there's not a lot of information about the senator's condition at this moment. And, of course, the most important thing we should be thinking about is his health. But this does, of course, as we've said, raise questions about the Democrats' power in the Senate. What could happen?
Well, theoretically, right now, going into the 110th Congress, it's 51 Democrats, including the independent from Vermont, and 49 Republicans. If Tim Johnson cannot vote to organize the Senate and when they come back on January 4th, it'll still be 50 Democrats, 49 Republicans, so it still will be a Democratic Senate. However, if Tim Johnson unfortunately passes away or has to give up his office, resigns his office, then the Republican governor, Mike Rounds, most probably would name a Republican to replace Johnson, and that would leave us with a 50-50 Senate, and Dick Cheney, the vice president, would break the tie, making it a Republican Senate.
If you have a question for Ken Rudin, by the way, you can give us a call at 800-989-8255, and you're listening to Talk the Nation from NPR News. Let me ask you, first of all, this is what would happen in South Dakota, but it's different from state to state. What would happen if when a lawmaker becomes incapacitated in any way?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, the Senate in its history has never removed any office holder from office because he or she is incapacitated. I mean, there's a famous case. Famous for me, but Carl Mundt, a Republican from South Dakota, suffered a stroke in 1969. For 3 years, he until the end of his term, he never returned to the Senate, never returned to vote, never returned to the floor at all. And yet, there was no move made in the Senate at all to declare his seat vacant. They did strip Carl Mundt of his committee assignments, but from 69 until his term was up in 73, he stayed as a Republican senator. Now, of course, the difference this time is that Johnson's vote could determine whether the Republicans or Democrats control the Senate, but in history, they've never removed anybody because they were incapacitated or ill. The one case where the House ever took action, Gladys Spellman, a Democrat from Maryland, she suffered a heart attack campaigning for re-election in 1980, and she went into a coma. 4 months later, they declared her, you know, unable to come out of a coma. They declared the seat vacant, but with a stroke. Remember, Joe Biden in 1988 suffered a surgery for a brain aneurysm. He was out for 6 months, but there was no move made by anybody to either declare the seat vacant or anything like
that.
And
there's one really dramatic story, I think, having to do with the Civil Rights Bill. There was
a Democratic Senator, Claire Engel, was dying of brain cancer in June of 1964. They begged him to resign. The Democratic governor then was Pat Brown, so they would have had a Democrat to replace him, but he insisted in staying in office. They wheeled him into the Senate in June of 1964 on a vote on a key part of the Civil Rights Bill. He raised his hand to stop some kind of the obstruction to it, and as it turned out, Claire Engel died a month later. But he refused entreaties to resign, and actually voted on that key vote.
So what's happening with the Democrats now? Of course, they're poised to take control of the Senate. Is everything on hold?
Well, no, nor should it be, because again, I mean, unless you know, God forbid, something happened that Tim Johnson would leave the Senate or cost them either his life or his seat, you know, obviously in that order of importance. But with or without him, they still have a majority. They still have at least 50 senators, and come January 4th, they should have, if Tim Johnson is still in the Senate and there's no vacancy, the Democrats keep the control of the Senate that they won last month.
Now, if it did come to it and the governor did appoint someone to that seat, and you said he would be likely to appoint is there any chance that he wouldn't appoint a Republican? And would there be any ramifications for him, voters having voted for a Democrat, for him to appoint someone?
Two things. First of all, the last time a governor of one party named a senator of another party was Mark Hatfield of Oregon in 1960. So this is we're talking about 40 years here or more, where every governor who's named a successor to a senator has named it of the governor's own party. Two, let's not forget that it goes both ways. In Georgia in 2000, Paul Coverdell, a Republican, died in office. The Democratic governor named a Democrat, Zell Miller, to take his place. So it's, you know, it happens both ways.
Let's see if we can get a quick call in here from Nick in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Nick. Nick, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. I just cut off there for a second. I was wondering, you know, I'm a Republican, and I thought that it might be a good political calculus to appoint a Democrat just because, you know, it would go a long way to repairing our image as a somewhat corrupt and, unfortunately, power-grabbing party.
Well, there's a PS to this whole thing, is that Mike Rounds, the governor of South Dakota, the rumor has always been that he was planning to run against Tim Johnson in 2008. So obviously Mike Rounds has the Republican Party's future and his own political future on the line as well. And don't forget, we saw a similar thing happen in 2001 when it was a Republican Senate, a 50-50 Senate, although it was Republican controlled because of Cheney. Jim Jeffords of Vermont, a Republican, switched to the independents, and by that switch gave the control of the Senate to the Democratic Party. So, I mean, it was nice to say that we should all come together and observe the results of the November 7th elections, but practical politics usually comes into play.
All right, thanks for your call, Nick. And thanks to you, Ken Rudin, for joining
us.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor, and he writes the weekly political junkie column on NPR's website. And you can also head there for the latest on Senator Johnson's illness. We'll be updating throughout the day. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.